always been a proven fighter for low taxes and limited government, earning an award from the American Conservative Union for my work defending the taxpayers. That is why I'm asking for your vote, so I can continue my fight to keep taxes low, limit government, and keep our neighborhoods safe. Paid for by Friends of Victoria Seaman.
Newsmakers, newsbreakers, and everything in between. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays noon to 3 on AM 670 KMCQ. Talk radio done right.
The gun tragedy in Uvalde, Texas has sparked more talk than what we need. Are teachers armed to the teeth in their classroom that it would prevent tragedies like Uvalde and elsewhere? And all we got to do is make sure that good people have guns and allow them to carry them, conceal or open, regardless of how you feel about that. And gentlemen, Jim Dallas has been following this story. Am I right? The numbers seem to indicate that America wants our teachers armed.
Absolutely. That is the case. When we listen to White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, she says that the buzz phrase is hardening schools is not something that President Biden believes in, because he believes the problem is guns, much like a fork is to someone who's 100 pounds overweight, I guess. It's an inanimate object.
And what do the numbers say?
The numbers say, and this is from the Economist YouGov poll, it says stationing armed guards at all schools in America, 59% favor it, 28% oppose it, but even Democrats are on board, Kevin. In this poll, 45% of Democrats favor hardening the schools, 40% disagree with that. So even the Democrats are coming around.
Incredible, incredible. We'll be talking more about this coming up. And by the way, in our next hour, Tommy Pickett will give us the national perspective on the president's speech yesterday. He is the Rapid Response Director for the RNC, the Republican National Committee. He's a little bit biased, but that's okay. We accept that. We accept that. I would fully expect him to be trashing the president's speech. We'll see. Maybe he won't. I don't know. We'll do that and more coming up as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us on this Friday edition on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Sam Brown, running for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Career politician Adam Laxalt likes to talk about how he's fighting election fraud. He says non-citizen voting's been a problem since 2008. Okay, but you know who was attorney general for four of those years? Adam Laxalt. For 4 years, he passed up the chance to fight for reform. He was even told that the DMV was registering illegal voters, but he looked the other way and did nothing. Then in 2020, Donald Trump asked Adam Laxalt to file challenges to non-citizen voting. But Adam Laxalt failed again. He admits he filed the lawsuits too late, weeks after the official deadline to challenge illegal votes. As the former attorney general, shouldn't Adam Laxalt have known better? But instead of taking responsibility, he blames the Trump campaign. But who was the chair of the Trump campaign? Adam Laxalt. Typical career politician. No accountability. No results. It's time for fighters. Paid for by Sam Brown for Nevada, the battle-born fighter we need.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMCQ Las Vegas, locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. President Biden says a strong jobs market can help the U.S. confront rising food and gas prices. Greg Clugston reports.
The president described May's employment report as excellent, but also acknowledged Americans are anxious about inflation.
And there's no denying that high prices, particularly around gasoline and food, are a real problem for people.
He claimed that the country can feel confident that we'll meet these challenges, pointing to higher employment and other signs of economic recovery. However, Mr. Biden continues to receive low ratings for his handling of the economy. Greg Clugston, Washington.
U.S. employers added 390,000 jobs in May, extending a streak of solid hiring. The unemployment rate remained a low 3.6% in May. Also at townhall.com, Russian President Vladimir Putin blaming the West for emerging global food and energy crises. He says the West is using Russia as a scapegoat for its problems. Putin's position on these issues conflict with explanations given by Ukraine and its allies. National Hurricane Center specialist Philippe Pepin says forecasters are keeping an eye on a potential tropical storm in the Gulf of Mexico that's moving toward Florida.
It shows landfall sometime on Saturday morning between 7 to 11 a.m. on the western Florida peninsula. And then we have it crossing the Florida coast and actually emerging back over the Atlantic in the western Atlantic basin by that evening after 7 p.m.
Tampa and Orlando could receive several inches of rain by Saturday night.
We're expecting between 6 to 10 inches of rainfall over the next 24 to 48 hours in the Miami metro area and for a large chunk of the southern Florida Peninsula, including also the Florida Keys.
A lower close on Wall Street, the Dow off 349 points today. The NASDAQ was down 304. More at townhall.com.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I'm asking about Prevnar 20 because there's a chance pneumococcal pneumonia could put me in the hospital.
Age 65 or older, you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I want to be able to keep my plans.
So I'm asking my doctor about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
Now, you know this isn't Sam Brown's first rodeo, right? He ran for office in Texas.
Wait, he's from Texas?
He moved there from Arkansas to run for office. Poured it on thick, too. Here it is.
Texas has been good to us. Texas is really God's country. Let's plant our roots in Dallas and really invest in the community there.
Wait for it.
And I'm not going anywhere.
But he only moved here in 2018?
Yeah, and he's running for Senate after just living here a few years, right?
I have socks that have literally been in Nevada longer than Sam Brown. So why did he leave Texas?
Well, voters in Texas asked the same thing, didn't they?
You would never get me out of here. It'll literally take an act of God to get me out of Texas.
Wait, so what happened?
Well, he lost the race in Texas.
Ouch. So losing an election was an act of God?
Apparently for Sam Brown it was.
I'm Adam Laxalt, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Laxalt for Senate.
It's 104. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. And its latest efforts to respond to an increase in violence on school campuses, the Clark County School District is testing an instant alert system at 9 different schools this summer. Crisis alert badges are going to be worn by staff at those schools. And when that button on that badge is pressed, immediate help can respond to a person's location. District officials say following the pilot program, they will determine which schools will get that priority for those alarms. School Superintendent Jesus Jura says the district is testing two systems to find out which provides the best value to protect the school district employees. Texas Station and Fiesta Rancho are going to stay closed for at least another year. The Nevada Gaming Control Board and the city of North Las Vegas has given Station Casinos the okay to keep those properties closed. The two hotel casinos, along with the Fiesta Henderson, were closed in March of 2020. That was when Governor Sisolak closed all gaming establishments statewide to slow the potential spread of the COVID-19 virus. station kept the properties closed when those precautionary mandates were lifted in June of 2020.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Got a road hazard which is all but closed. U.S. 95 northbound there at Valley View. They are blocking all access there because of that road hazard. So try to avoid U.S. 95 northbound after Valley View.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of it.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do when follow through, the exact opposite.
Check it out.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one. Time is running out. Number two. Time is running out. Number three. Time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number two, live and local for a Friday, June 3rd. Good to have you with us. Don't forget, coming up at 2:50, 10 till 3, we'll be giving away a $50 gas card, our way of saying thanks for listening. Also, we'll give you a basic oil change from Meineke. That's all coming up 10 till 3, 2:50, right here on Live and Local. So good to have him with us. He's been on before, but he hasn't been on in a while. Tommy Pigott joining us, a rapid response director for the Republican National Committee, and he joins us. Tommy, good to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let me just ask you, we were looking at the job numbers that came out today. The president called it an excellent job report. You agree?
I don't really agree at all, actually. I think, to quote Rick Santelli from CNBC, there were canaries in the coal mine in this jobs report, and most importantly, the impact on the consumer. I mean, I know Kamala Harris is in Reno today. What she's not talking about is the fact that in Nevada, consumers are paying $5.41 a gallon in Nevada, and that's really hurting the consumer. And what that means when you're hurting American families, hurting their purchasing power, is that wages are going down, and the economy itself is likely to slow down. And that's what experts are saying. So this jobs report is more of the same. And for Joe Biden to go out there and call it an excellent one actually just shows that he's in denial and not really recognizing what he's done to the U.S. economy.
And then to send the vice president fumbling and stumbling her way to Reno, I don't know what she's supposed to say when she's talking about bragging about the Biden economic program. What the hell is that?
I don't really know either. I mean, what's astonishing to me is that she's meeting with mayors in a conference there, and what she should be doing is meeting with red state mayors and red state governors who are actually leading the way in creating jobs and lowering prices. When there is a supply chain crisis around the country in Florida, DeSantis was able to get Floridian supplies that they desperately needed, while Joe Biden just sat on his hands. I mean, so it's time and time again, they have nothing to talk about, so they make things up. He's out there honestly talking about how Joe Biden is, how he lowered the deficit. That's one of his claims. When if you look at every single analysis, Moody's Analytics, which is Joe Biden's favorite economist, they're out there saying everything Joe Biden has done has increased the deficit. So all he has is this gaslighting, these lies, because when Americans look at their pocketbooks, they know they're worse off. So all Joe Biden can do is try to distract Americans from that, but it's not working.
What do you make of the plan to send the president to Saudi Arabia, people that he has trashed as a government? What is behind that? I'm not quite sure what he's going to do other than go hat in hand and beg for more oil.
Well, that's really the only thing that he has done. That's in terms of his foreign policy in the Middle East. I mean, what a contrast. We just think back to President Trump, where you had an energy-independent America, you had an America that stood with Israel, and you have peace agreements in the Middle East. That's what President Trump delivered. And now Joe Biden gets in office. He destroys the credibility the United States has, tries to distance ourselves from Israel. Hamas is attacking Israel. And now he's begging Saudi Arabia to produce more oil. Time after time, Joe Biden has put America last and has made America weaker. So these foreign trips, especially these flip-flops where he says one thing and then does another, just shows how weak Biden has made us and why we need to get back 2024, get a president in there that will put America first.
Again, Tommy Pickett joining us, RNC Rapid Response Director. I don't like this, but I'm fascinated by the numbers, and they keep going up. The amount of money that the average household will spend, upwards of $2,000 on gas this year because of the Biden gas hike. This is impacting everybody. I mean, and nobody's escaping this, are they?
No one is. And unfortunately, it's actually the Americans that can least afford it that are paying the most of it. I mean, there are Americans that can work from home, which is great, but many Americans can't. So many Americans have to take a second job to pay to get to work. It's astonishing. And their solution, which is just so insulting to me, is for these Americans to buy an electric car when they cost $55,000 a year. It's just not viable. They attacked American energy before they had an alternative, and now Americans are paying that price. And on top of that, we see gas prices rising. We also see diesel prices rising, which is called the fuel that fuels the economy, because that's a lot of what trucks use, for example. So when you see those higher prices on store shelves, a lot of that is because diesel prices are rising, and that also means that prices are going to rise even more. So their attack on American energy has really had huge repercussions, and one analysis says it's costing American families $569 per month, all because of Biden's policies.
It was a slow Thursday in the Wall household, and so I watched at 4:30 Pacific time the president from the White House talking about gun control, and I watched the entire speech. I didn't hear anything new. Did you hear anything new from the president?
I didn't. Unfortunately, it was a very divisive speech. He went back to his same old talking points, and honestly, some of the same old inaccuracies. I think what he showed there in that speech is that Republicans are acting in good faith to make schools safe while respecting the Second Amendment, and Joe Biden is not. He went back to the same talking points he knows will never pass Congress. So why is he doing that? Not to get something passed, not to actually bring Americans together, but to try to play politics and use a tragic event to do so. So he's trying to divide Americans, which is the exact opposite of what he should do, and I think it's in direct contrast to Republicans that are acting in good faith to respect our fundamental rights and make Americans safe.
You talk with people all across the country, and I'm curious, what is it that the American voting public, what is it that's going to resonate with them? What are the issues that are important to them?
The two issues that I hear over and over again are prices and crime. Prices includes inflation, gas prices. We have a poll out today where 77% of Americans are worried about rising prices, and we hear that all the time, all over the country, because it affects everybody. But then there's also crime, where people no longer feel safe in their communities because Democrats have refused to enforce the law. They're out here trying to target legal gun owners when they won't even enforce the law. They won't punish criminals. In some Democrat-run cities, criminals know they can break into a store without any repercussions, and that's driving out businesses, that's driving down house prices, that's forcing families out of these cities. That's affecting people in very real ways, and we're hearing that all over.
Tommy, let me ask you, as far as the president of the United States and going to Saudi Arabia, does he have an answer for any of this? I mean, I've heard him blame other people. He's now blaming his staff for having to walk back different things that he said. Do you get a sense that he's willing to take any responsibility at all for any of this?
I think the exact opposite. And you only have to look at what he says about these crises. Afghanistan, he called an extraordinary success. The border crisis, he completely ignores and is doubling down on failure. Inflation, he changes who he blames every single week. Gas prices, he blames Putin, even though gas prices were rising way before Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Really, on issue after issue, he's taken zero responsibility. And there was this NBC News report, which I thought was very illuminating, where he is more obsessed with his sinking popularity than he actually is in finding answers. He has a weekly meeting on his poll numbers, but he wasn't even briefed on the baby formula crisis until April. That's how warped this administration's priorities are. They prioritize polling data as opposed to making sure that mothers can feed their babies. And that's why his popularity is going down. And he's so stubborn, there's no change in course that I can see anytime in the near future.
Here in Nevada, we are a battleground state. We could be producing the 51st Republican senator, and we'll find out, you know, who's going to run on the Republican side. But I'm just curious, do you sense this red wave thing is really going to happen? I know we've talked about it ad nauseum, and I think a lot of people can't wait for November 8th to actually pull the trigger on it. And I guess my question is, after talking with all these people that you talk to every day, every week, is the red wave going to happen?
Well, our chairman, Ron McDaniel, doesn't really like the term red wave because it implies that it'll happen by nature, as if a wave will come and elect Republicans, when in reality, it's us putting in the work. I am very confident that if we put in the work, we get out there, we volunteer, we talk with Americans, we explain how Republican policies work for all Americans, which we are doing. If we open community centers in areas of the country where Republicans maybe weren't as active in the past, if we put in the work like we are doing now and we continue to do that, I know we're going to win back the House and the Senate. But it requires everybody to get the work, because this is too important an election. We see the disasters of the Democrat Party. We need a check and balance in there as soon as possible.
Now the question is, and I had heard Kevin McCarthy talk about it and other Republicans, a possible contract with America type of thing that was going to happen this summer. Is it going to happen? And if so, do you know when? And what will it be about?
Well, I'll let the House Republicans, if they're going to put that up, preview what exactly the specifics of their policies. But I think what is already clear is what Republicans would do if they had power. And you can see that in what's happening in red states, where red governors lead in the economic recovery, lead with the lowest unemployment rates, are putting parents first in schools, are empowering families to open businesses and protect their children, are respecting fundamental liberties, are defending freedom of speech. Those are Republican values. We know freedom matters. We exercise on that principle with governors when we have control. That's what Republicans will do. That's what we'll fight for if we win back the House and Senate, while putting a check on Joe Biden.
I want to ask you about the Senate race. The Republicans are going to have a very, very strong candidate against Catherine Cortez Masto. What has Catherine Cortez Masto done to say that that she deserves another term?
Honestly, I'm drawing a blank.
Awkward pause.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of what exactly she's done to really deserve another term. I honestly can't even, you know, giving the benefit of the doubt, playing devil's advocate to myself, think of anything, especially now when the Senate desperately needs senators to stand up to the radical Democrats that are controlling their party. She has an opportunity, if she wants to stand up for common sense, stand up for policies that'll drive down prices, unleash American energy, that will secure the border, and she's just not doing it. Every single instance, she has sided with Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer. That's what she'll continue to do. I don't think that serves anyone's interest, especially not the people of Nevada. So I don't think that she deserves another term.
Tommy, let me just ask you. A lot of people here in Nevada, and again, we have by statute at-home voting, ballot harvesting. We got a lot of really bad stuff that the Democrat legislature made into law, and people are rightly concerned about whether we're going to have a true and fair election come November. What is your sense around the country? And I don't know whether this is just a Nevada thing or if this is maybe nationwide, that people are really concerned about the integrity of the vote.
Well, people are, and people should be concerned about making sure that elections are free and fair. That's a fundamental part of what it is to be an American. And the RNC is putting in the work to make sure that we have free and fair elections, that we support laws to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat, that we have the largest election integrity operation that we've ever had in states around the country. We're going to keep on doing that work. We're going to keep on trying to make sure that we pass measures that improve confidence in our elections. And that's why I really honestly find laughable the Democrats claiming that they're the pro-democracy party, when if you really wanted to be pro-democracy, you would pass common sense, widely supported measures that improve confidence and the integrity of our elections. But every time that Democrats have the chance to support those measures, they oppose them. And not only do they oppose those common sense measures, they smear the millions of Americans that support them. So in actuality, Democrats aren't the pro-democracy party. Being pro-democracy means having common sense election integrity measures, and the RNC and Republicans across the country will keep on fighting for those.
And what are we seeing in states like Georgia? Georgia is maybe the best example, where they said that we were trying to suppress the vote, and all of a sudden they're breaking all kinds of records for a midterm election. Can you talk about what's going on down in Georgia?
I mean, it really just disproved every single talking point the Democrats had about Georgia. And just as a reminder, Joe Biden supported a boycott that cost businesses in Georgia $100 million when the All-Star game moved out of that state. And he did that for nothing. He did that with lies. He just did that for spite. He did that to divide the country. And it hurt real people. It hurt people on the ground that needed that revenue, especially when we were recovering from a pandemic still. And he didn't really care. So what happened in Georgia is you had record turnout. You had a huge increase in turnout across the board. White Americans, Black Americans, Republicans, Democrats, you had people coming out to vote, which was the exact opposite of what Democrats said would happen. And Stacey Abrams was asked about this after she lied and smeared and spread falsehoods about what the Georgia law would do. She went out there as she was confronted by the fact that the voting was off the charts. She went out there and said, voter suppression has nothing to do with voter turnout, which would be laughable if her lies.
That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense at all. God.
It really doesn't. It's beyond the pale. I mean, if this is truly a voter suppression bill in Georgia, it's the worst one in history because it actually increased the turnout. So it really just shows Democrats were never telling the truth about this stuff.
Hey, Tommy, it's always good to visit with you. Thank you so much, my friend. You have yourself a great weekend, and we will talk again soon, I promise.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Tommy Pigott, the Republican National Committee Rapid Response Director. And he's got answers to just about everything, I tell you what. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. Oh, there is news on the COVID front. And some of it hits somewhat close to home here on this radio station. We'll talk about that and a lot more coming up as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6, on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
This is Manny Kess, candidate for Nevada State Treasurer, and I've got a question for you. Do you have any idea where our taxes go? Better yet, how about what our money gets spent on? Well, I think it's time we put someone in office who will answer these questions and start being accountable to you. That is why I've decided to run for Nevada State Treasurer. My pledge to you is simple. Send me to Carson City, and I'll be accountable to you, and we'll maximize the Treasurer's office by making it the most transparent in the country. We should not have to beg for accountability in government. Transparency and accountability in government. You deserve it. I'll demand it. Once again, this is Manny Kess, your Republican nominee for Nevada State Treasurer. Contact me anytime by visiting MannyFORNevada.com.
This call is paid for by Manny for Nevada.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. A lot of lawyers promise a lot of things. No fee unless we win. The consults are free. Of course they offer that stuff. All lawyers do that. But will they promise not to take more money than you at the end of your case? No. When you call me, that answer's yes. I'll never take more money than you, and I put it in writing.
Call 728-5500 or go to paulpowell.com.
I really can help.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
Some restrictions apply.
If you owe back taxes to the IRS, you haven't filed your taxes in a while, or you have a lien against you or your business, there is hope. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Whether you've been audited or face any number of other tax issues, turn to my friends at New Hope Tax Defense. Many people are so glad they did, like Maria.
I was desperate, and New Hope Tax Defense helped me resolve all my tax issues. Gave me hope.
Don't lose any more sleep. New Hope Tax Defense has helped doctors, attorneys, and many others reduce their tax debt and get their business back on track. New Hope is not a call center. When you call, you'll speak directly with one of their tax professionals right here in Las Vegas. They aim to resolve your issues, not put you on a payment plan that could take a lifetime to pay off. Call New Hope Tax Defense, 702-483-0220. That's 702-483-0220. Or check them out at newhopetaxdefense.com. Call right now.